Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information that's given either by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 8, Paul said, "For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle?" You know, in that text, he was dealing with confusion in worship over speaking in tongues and the need for those who understood what was being said to be present. In our study today, I don't want to deal with speaking in tongues, but I want to notice the underlying point of his statement. When we make a call to stand for the truth, there needs to be a clear and understandable distinction between the truth and the error. We should not be ashamed to stand for that truth and separate ourselves from that which is false. As Paul told the Corinthians later in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17, he said, "Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord." Being separate and in the minority is not a shame. It puts you in the same category as the righteous remnant often spoken of by the prophets, and the small number of Christians in comparison to the Jews and the Roman idolatry in the days in which the New Testament was written. And it puts us in a class that descriptive of those who will enter heaven by that straight and the narrow gate that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, compared to the broad way that the majority are following. I say this because of a concern that I have and the motivation behind my lesson this morning. I'm fearful of the direction that some of our brethren are going is in an attempt to minimize that distinction in the Lord's church. They are brethren and they are churches who seem to be asking, what can we do to be more like the churches around us without sacrificing our core values? I believe really this attitude is a result of one of the most successful and popular religious movements going on today. I'm speaking of the community church movement. The community church movement is a movement that desires to de-emphasize denominationalism by creating community-based churches that cater to the social needs and it stresses tolerance of all doctrinal differences. Some of the largest and the best-known churches in this nation are the results of this movement. Willow Creek in Chicago is said by many to be the original community and the pattern that other community churches follow. Its current membership is about 23,000 attendees on a given weekend. But to have three services in a 7,200-seat worship center. And in addition to this, the Willow Creek has several what's called regional congregations in the Chicago area, and yet they do not call themselves a denomination. The Saddleback Church, located in Lake Forest, California, is under the direction of Rick Warren, whose book, The Purpose-Driven Church, has become a blueprint for the community church. It was started in 1980 and has an average attendance of nearly 20,000 on a given weekend. The Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas, which is the home of Joel Osteen, it boasts being the largest church in the United States with attendance of 47,000. The Oak Hill Church is located in San Antonio. This is the church where Max Lucado preaches. It was used to be called the Oak Hills Church of Christ. While I do not see anything at their website claiming to be a community church, yet they do teach some things differently, they are clear signs that they are moving in that direction, if they're not already there. Their goal is multiple campuses. They have both instrumental and a cappella services. They have softened their stance on baptism, now teaching that Oak Hills, and I quote, Oak Hills also believes salvation doesn't come through baptism, but that baptism is the initial step of obedience after salvation, end of quote. They've also stated in interviews that the reason they removed the name Church of Christ is because, quote, some find the Church of Christ name to be an insurmountable barrier, end of quote. In fact, that was taken from San Antonio Express News in September 6, 2003. So considering this, today I want to spend a few moments talking about why we should be concerned about the community church movement. First of all, let's look at a little bit of the background. In the history, the community church movement traces its origins back to movements that came out of denominationalism. One is the social gospel, which began to be advanced in the early 1900s. Over the next few decades, many churches began to slowly change their focus to addressing social and psychological needs. In other words, benevolence and counseling. About that same time, we see that evolution and modernism were being intellectually introduced, and this caused a lot of people to begin questioning the authority and the clarity of the scriptures. Historically, we can see how this evolved over the next century to become more and more loose and liberal, and a desire to reject what they call traditional thought, that is, the 1960s generation. So when you add to this the spirit of ecumenicism, which describes a movement in which more liberal religious leaders get together and they seek to have unity and diversity, that is, let us simply agree to disagree. And so it was later in the 20th century, as people began to become disillusioned with traditional religion and denominations, they began searching for alternatives. And so the community church began to develop out of these roots. When there is a decision to start such a church, the first thing that's done is that they take a survey. They take a survey of what the people in the community want in a church. And then they build the church around that survey. They develop ministries for everything. And their focus is greatly on the social needs of the community. The hope is that by taking care of the social needs, opportunities will be presented to preach and to teach the gospel to these individuals. They also encourage members to start their own ministries, whatever they are passionate about. And of course, this enhances the community spirit of the church. But also when it comes to its worship is a new and it's a contemporary worship style. In community churches, there is great emphasis on the entertainment value of worship. In fact, many of the mega churches, they offer multiple services with different approaches. You can choose the more upbeat contemporary service or a more traditional service, which will still be filled with entertainment. But a traditional service will have lots of music, like a concert, prayers, a short but relevant lesson. And by relevant, it means that the sermon will always, almost always, deal with some current issue, such as an attitude or some uplifting lesson. So services are geared to keep your attention, even in our entertainment-driven society. The appeal it has is on account of the emphasis being on a casual atmosphere and having an enjoyable time. You're not expected to dress up. Service times throughout the weekend cater to your time frame with several opportunities to worship. In fact, many of the mega churches have services on both Saturday and Sunday so that you can choose the best time for you. You're not expected to participate unless you want to. You can listen to the music and so forth and so on. In fact, due to the size of many of these churches, you can just blend in and not even be noticed. And that's just the way many people like it. They pride themselves on being non-judgmental. And that's another key feature to these churches, is this come-as-you-are doctrinal approach. While there are some core beliefs that are expected of all members, and I suspect by some churches it would not permit certain sinful behaviors, then the general consensus, though, is God loves you the way you are. And while that is a true statement, the way they seem it is that they expect less change than God does. In fact, as one writer says, as we were preparing this lesson, he said that the emphasis of the community church concept seems to be on reaching the people of community as they are and where they are, and leaving them as they were and where they were even after they become members. So, the truth about these churches is that they appeal to people who are not comfortable in the mainstream churches because mainstream churches expect them to conform to certain standards of conduct. They preach a positive message. Again, because of the size of some of these churches, it's necessary to avoid certain controversial subjects at the risk of alienating large numbers of the congregation. For example, you'll probably not find much teaching on unscriptural marriages in some of these churches, nor will you find much doctrinal teaching because such has a tendency to divide. A church that is affiliated with one church, like the Saddleback Church, they'll probably not condemn any of the doctrines of other denominations. So, what are some of the problems with this community church? Well, first of all, they're founded by men. As we see, these churches are founded by men for the appeasement of men. Like the denominations, community churches can trace their foundations to the work of some man, and many of them are also affiliated with a particular denomination. Most community churches are centered around the pastor and his associates. These men and women are very much instrumental in forming these churches, and it becomes theirs. They run it as they see fit. And if you don't believe this, try telling Joel Osteen to leave the Lakewood Church or Rick Warren to leave the Saddleback Church. See what happens. And even if they did leave, many of the parishioners would follow them. We need to be careful not to follow after men. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 1 through 4, finds Paul being sarcastic as he notes that if one came preaching a different gospel, you may well put up with it. Paul noted in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 12, no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Friends, the Bible does not speak highly of the doctrines nor the churches of men. Galatians 2 and verse 5 speaks of an occasion when men tried to bind their own doctrines and change the gospel of Christ. Paul said of such, to whom we did not yield submission, even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue in you. Friends, we'll continue our study. So we see now that our time is up. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And it's under then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.